I'm Frank Garza, and welcome to Here and Abroad, a podcast that follows the U.S. men's national team and their player pool across Europe, MLS, or wherever else they play their club football. On today's show, we're going to focus on U.S. internationals playing in Europe's top five leagues and some of the more interesting storylines around them. To help me do that, I've invited Chuck Booth back to the show. Chuck is a soccer writer at CBS Sports. Chuck, welcome to the show.
Hey, I mean, thanks for having me again. It seems like this is becoming a relatively regular occurrence, which isn't a bad thing.
Yeah, well, you always give me so much good information when you come on, so I got to keep asking you to come back. So what we're going to do today is we're going to go through each of the top five leagues in Europe, one at a time. And for each league, I've picked out a topic involving a USMNT player or players that I'd like to get your perspective on. And let's start with the English Premier League. And you know where I'm going there. Everyone knows where I'm going there. It's Gio Reyna, okay? So he's in the middle of this loan move at Nottingham Forest. Hasn't got a lot of minutes. Missed the last two matches, which the only thing I've heard it described as is a knock. I haven't heard any more details than that. And so my question for you is, are you worried about Gio Reyna right now?
Oh, genuinely. So first, like, I'm just beginning to just hate Nottingham Forest as a whole because they're just ruining the U.S. player pool because now we have a goalkeeper situation again with the fact that Matt Turner has been dropped. But the Gio Reyna problem is certainly a much bigger one because, as we know, a motivated Gio Reyna is the most talented player in the U.S. pool right now. Like, I don't think it's particularly close. He needs playing time. When I, like, last looked, he had basically played the same amount of minutes for Dortmund in 2024 as he's played for Nottingham Forest. And collectively, those don't add up to 90 minutes of soccer. And, like, that's not good. Like, Greg Berhalter has already had to come out and say, like, we're going to basically need to look at contingency plans because, like, we don't know if he's going to be even fit to play 45 minutes of soccer for these upcoming Nations League games. And while I don't think the United States would have an issue winning Nations League without Gio Reyna, they will certainly have an issue being extremely competitive in Copa America without him. And, like, while I was already concerned just with the move to Nottingham Forest, because, like, it didn't make sense at all. Like, they have a pretty dynamic attacking midfield already. Gio Reyna and Morgan Gibbs-White more or less want to do the same thing. And, like, you're not going to take Morgan Gibbs-White off the pitch to accommodate Gio Reyna. Like, that would just be a bad thing for Nottingham Forest. But, like, we were close to a point with that January move where it felt like it would have honestly been better for Gio to stay at Dortmund until the summer, because even though he still wasn't playing a lot, we kind of knew what his role was. And things, like, just at least so far, couldn't have worked out worse since his move to the Premier League.
Yeah, you know, initially I wasn't too concerned. You know, he was getting the, you know, 20 minutes a match, which I thought was pretty normal for new player coming in. But then there was a match where I don't remember which one it was, but they were down and they were chasing a goal. They needed a goal towards the end of the game and they didn't bring him on, or they brought him in really late. And I was like, well, that's the type of situation where maybe you would bring him in. And then shortly after that, he was just out of the lineup due to this knock, which I don't know if you've heard any more details about it, but I haven't heard one detail about, like, what it is.
No, I mean, everything is just completely tight-lipped at Forest. And, like, it is one of those things that just, like, makes you wonder what's going on behind the scenes with his actual adjustment to the team. Because, like, as we talked about a little bit, those are the things that you just never see in these. And like, when players go to Premier League clubs specifically as well, there's just a tendency for, like, all news, unless the team wants that news to get out, to just be shut off. Because, like, even with the move to Forest, I was hoping that he would end up playing so that I could request to actually talk to him. And like, that's not a possibility if he doesn't step on the pitch.
Yeah. And it looks at this point now, I believe there's just Forrest has one more match scheduled before the FIFA international break. And so we're not going to get to see, I mean, best case scenario, maybe he gets in there again for 20 minutes or so if he's past this injury, but we don't even know if that's going to happen. I mean, based on what you're, you know, now, what you're seeing now, I mean, what do you think his role will be at the Nations League semifinal match against Jamaica, especially?
I mean, it's gotta be coming off the bench. Like he just genuinely hasn't played enough soccer, and Jamaica is a dangerous enough opponent that like, you can't book in a 45-minute sub against Jamaica. Like, in a friendly, cool. Against, like, a lower-tier CONCACAF team, like, that's fine to use those games to, like, get him up to fitness. But, like, the priority here is winning the Nations League. And if you're not having your best competitive 11 out there from minute one, you're just not taking this tournament seriously.
Yeah, it's hard to see him getting the start, especially with some of the other midfielders, you know, playing so well, like Malik Tillman, who's playing Champions League, you know, football right now. So I agree with you there. Let's switch over to Serie A next. And, you know, two players I'm not concerned about at all are Christian Pulisic and Weston McKennie and the seasons they're having at Milan and Juventus. But they each have an American teammate that maybe I'm a little bit more concerned about. I'm talking about, you know, Yunus Musah at Milan and Tim Weah at Juve. You know, both of those guys aren't getting nearly as many minutes, and it seems like they're even kind of heading in the opposite direction of where they were, you know, earlier in the season. So between those two, Musah and Weah, which of those two are you most concerned about?
I think that I'm probably most concerned about Weah, just because, like, not only is he not getting the minutes, but he's also not getting the attacking returns either. And this is, like, playing on a pretty good Juventus team that realistically coming in even as a wingback, like, you should theoretically have more than one assist on the season in the amount of minutes that he's played. I mean, if you look at every other wingback on the team, just statistically, he's underperforming them all. And so there's a pretty fair reason as to why he's not getting that playing time. But especially when it comes to his role on the national team, and like, it's a, like, one thing, yes, it's great that like, he's one of the best players at like actually creating space for the rest of the attack in the front three, and generally one of the few players who will just is kind of just a danger to shoot and dribble from anywhere. But when it when like you're not getting any of those like attacking returns playing domestically, it always starts to wear on your confidence. And like, we can't afford to have him second thinking his movements like on the wing, especially when you have people like Tillman, Brendan Aaronson, even Gio Reyna that can come in and still provide options on that, on the wing. For Musah, the reason that I'm not particularly concerned is like, he's kind of, like, he kind of needs this rough patch in his career because he is a player that in midfield does need to iron out his decision-making. And, like, that decision-making is part of why he's still getting limited playing time with Milan right now. And, like, that's fine because he's such a young player who still, I think, this basically, like, his third season of like big five league soccer. So like, it's still just like important for him to get those reps, go through growing pains. And it hasn't seemed like there's anything where he's out of the picture for Milan. It's just, this is again, a good soccer team that has depth at his position. And if he wants to be a starter there, he has to like clean up his game to do it. But still, with at least where the U.S. midfield is right now, I mean, there's no reason why he doesn't have a role in it. And it's not like he's in a Reyna-type situation where it doesn't feel like he's not fit enough to go 90 minutes if needed for the national team either.
Yeah, I still think it's, you know, probably pretty good chance both of them will start, you know, that match against Jamaica. I'm not too concerned about, you know, either one of them at club level. You're not hearing like really much negativity from the clubs about either one of them. I know Musa, especially, they just see him as a young guy who has great potential. And I don't think they're really expecting a whole lot from him, you know, this season. It was just, he was having to play a lot more early on because of some injuries or whatnot. So I'm not terribly worried about, you know, either one of them, but it would be good to get to see them, you know, get some more minutes. And I don't know if it'll happen this season, but as we get into like next season, I'm hoping both of those players can kind of step up and have a bigger role, you know, with their respective clubs.
For sure. And it is always about season two in these. I mean, for me, it just like kind of just comes down to like with Weah being just more advanced in his career, I just expect more from him at club level than I do from Musa.
Yeah, I think Weah, he's one of those players, every time I see him play for the USMNT, he's impressive. I love Weah. He's one of my favorite players to watch. But he hasn't really been able to duplicate it at club level. I mean, you think back to his time at Lille, he wasn't like getting regular minutes.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is fair that he doesn't get to play. I mean, it is fair that he doesn't actually get to play winger at club level.
Yeah. That's true.
And so, I mean, there is that just weird, like, I get that he has a high enough work rate and like does enough defensively to play wing back, but like he's not a wing back.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens with those two. And I think we're both kind of in the camp of like there's not a huge concern, you know, with either of them right now, but we need to keep an eye on them. Let's talk about maybe a player who we're not worried about. I don't think either of us will be worried about, and that's in La Liga, Johnny Cardoso. You know, I've just been really surprised at how quickly he's integrated himself into the team at Real Betis and the impact he's having already. I mean, have you been surprised at that? And what have you thought of his performance so far?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like anyone who says that they aren't surprised at like how quickly he's become a starter there is probably lying a little bit, because it's like I like the move a lot because I mean we know Betis is a good development club. Manuel Pellegrini is a great coach to learn from, who has coached just an entire host of impressive midfielders over his career, and like I thought like, okay, this would be a great place for him to like sit, learn this year, maybe start some next year. And he's already starting contributing to the attack and has cemented himself right then and there. And it's much to a point where especially with the fact that Gio Reyna is not playing, it feels like almost an expectation that like in that game against Jamaica that Johnny Cardoso has to be one of your midfield three.
Yeah. Well, that was going to be my next question is what role do you see him playing in the Nations League because of his good performances? You see him as a starter alongside which other two do you think?
I mean, yeah, I would honestly be shocked if the midfield is anything other than Weston McKennie, Yunus Musa, and Johnny Cardoso for that game. Because like, I don't feel like you can start Reyna. It's like, Tyrell Adams is finally like back fully in training, but if he even is on the Nations League roster, it'll be like when Weston McKennie just recovered and wasn't actually fit to play and was just there. And like, it's good to have your actual captain there.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what Berhalter does, you know, with that midfield. It's gonna be hard to leave a Cardoso out of there. I personally just want to see him play, because I haven't seen him play much for the USMNT. I mean, he's been called into several camps, several of the recent camps, and he couldn't come because of injuries and whatnot. And so I don't feel like I've been able to just have a good evaluation of what he can do and how he fits in, you know, to the US team. And so I just want to see him get some more minutes and see what he can do.
Definitely. And it's always like the weird give and take where it's like these types of games aren't a time to try too much new stuff, but like he's been around the team enough that like him starting in the midfield three shouldn't be new. And just like when you look at every other midfielder that plays his role, I mean, it kind of just comes down to him against like Luca Della Torre, and he's in much better form than Della Torre right now.
All right, well, let's go on to the Bundesliga next. And my question for you there is, so I had a hard time picking out one specific person that I wanted to talk about on this one. And so I decided to go with asking you who you think is the top American performer in the Bundesliga, you know, so far this season.
I know we talked a little bit about this before recording that this might actually be like by far the hardest question that you have on here to answer, because like it's the answer is almost like no one and everyone at the same time, just because they're all on very similar levels. I think if I had to pick just one player, and it's kind of annoying because like I honestly feel like his U.S. national team future is probably over, and that's Jordan Pefok, because he has like actually like integrated well into the Gladbach attack, but it's like he couldn't have picked a worse time to do it, because like he's doing this and Josh Sargent scoring every week for Norwich, and Josh Sargent was already above Jordan Pefok on the depth chart, and there really is no reason to particularly change that, especially since like for now we still have a starting striker, we still know what we're going to get out of Ricardo Pepi, so like you kind of just have your three to four strikers, because it's not like Jesus Ferreira is going anywhere, even though he just came back from injury himself and is like working back up to full fitness. But I don't see a situation in which Pefok's on this Nations League roster at all. But the other name that I think, it's where it like comes down to like he's not lighting up a stat sheet, but just the fact that he's starting at 20 for his club is impressive right now. Is where we are with Kevin Paredes at the moment, because he is like an extremely talented player. I know we're still trying to figure out like, is he a winger or is he a wing back? Like, and it's very weird how many of just those scenarios positionally we have within the entire national team, because like there really just are a lot of players where it's like we don't really know their position. And it's not like this team is really in a place where it's like ready for a back three to try and accommodate him as like how he's playing for his club either. But just his rise to breaking in as a full-time starter for Wolfsburg and keeping that spot is impressive. And then like I had the opportunity to talk to him recently just about his growth there, and like while he didn't like say anything like groundbreaking while talking to him, just like it's very clear on just his mindset, drive, knowing the goal that's in front of him and knowing what he needs to do to reach it. And like so far in his career, he's done what he's needed to do to reach those goals, and like there's no reason to presume that he won't continue to do so, which is going to make it very interesting for like what his role is with the national team in the next couple of years, because he certainly is on track to be a regular in the senior team, but like with him playing mostly on the left side, he's also going up against two of the most established members of the national team in Anthony Robinson and Christian Pulisic. And that's where it just gets very interesting for, okay, what is his true role?
I mean, he's probably the player in the Bundesliga, you know, I'm most excited about, you know, because of his potential. And it does seem like he's getting called in more regularly. Fully expect him to be there, get a call up for the Nations League. And I agree with you about PFOC. I don't know if there's anything he can do to get back in. It seems like he's probably pretty far down on Berhalter's pecking list of strikers. Not exactly sure why, but he's one that you'd be really surprised if you got a call up. And I'll mention one more guy that kind of seems to be further down on Berhalter's depth chart than a lot of people think he should be, and that's John Brooks. I still would love to see Brooks get called up at least one more time to just, you know, the guy's starting week in and week out, you know, in the Bundesliga for Hoffenheim, who's like, I think seventh place right now. So, I mean, we're talking about a top performing team in the Bundesliga. I'd love to just see him get one more chance and see what he can do at the very least, but he's another one that just Berhalter doesn't seem to.
Yeah. And I mean, his situation's interesting because there is always the possibility that if just absolutely nothing is working, he pulls a Tim Ream and shows up out of nowhere and is the starter at Copa America. And I think that's really the only way that he makes it back into the pool. Like, you can't fully rule him out. It is good that Chris Richards is not only playing, but playing well. So you would assume that he is also going to be a player that is starting in these Nations League games. I just, in no way, shape, or form, could tell you who he's starting next to right now, because it is really just figuring out who that second center back is, and I just don't know. But I do at least know that I don't want it to be Tim Ream at this point, because like, it's just an opportunity loss for every other member of the pool if he ends up being that guy again. And unfortunately, there's not enough time for Mark McKenzie to get out of Belgium to test himself at a absolutely top club.
Yeah, that center back position is always one that's interesting to watch, because while the pool is I think mostly known who those, you know, 4, 5, 6 players are, you know, who gets the start, who gets called in the roster, who gets the start is still kind of seems to be up in the air. So that's always interesting to watch. Let's go to our last league. Let's go to France, Ligue 1. And I want to ask you about Balogun. So here's a guy that, you know, he's getting the minutes, he's getting the starts, he's had some goals, he's missed all these penalties, it had a real up and down season. And I just want to ask, you know, what your thoughts are on him, and is he close to losing his hold as the top striker for the USMNT?
So, I mean, I don't think he's close to losing his hold as the top striker unless he just completely falls out of the picture at Monaco. And it does seem like Monaco at least wants to work with him through these struggles. I never want to see him take a penalty again, and that's fine. Like, he doesn't need to take penalties for the national team. We have our penalty taker for the national team. And I'd be more concerned if he wasn't scoring at all and also wasn't shooting. Like, he is trying, and it is just like, that is all you can ask for. Like, strikers do just go on cold runs, and then next thing you know, you blink and they score 20 goals. Like, it's not like he statistically is an amazing finisher. Like, that's not the top of his game. It's really when it comes down to like his specific movement, being able to create space for himself to get shots because of being so balanced, and then just like Weah, creating space for the other players around him. Because we know, and you saw it literally immediately, this is a more dangerous team with Balogun on the pitch than without him on the pitch. And as long as he's playing and not just absolutely terrible, because like his performance is like lower than we would like it to be, but it is a step up to a larger team that, again, like how we've talked about with Wei and Yunus Musa, it does take an adjustment, even if he's still in the same league, because expectations are just completely different. Especially when it's like he's committed his long-term future to the team as well. So I wouldn't say that I'm worried about him yet. Now, if we're in like October and having the same discussion, that's when I'm worried.
Yeah, I think he's one where just expectations were so high, you know, from USMNT fans, it's going to be tough to hit for him to live up to that billing. And yeah, I think he's still going to be he's going to be starting against Jamaica. I think he has a lot of runway, you know, with the team, but it's going to be real interesting to see what he does in these, you know, competitive tournament style matchups. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, if he can get some big goals, you know, in those matches. And I believe if I do remember correctly, he did score in the Nations League, either semifinal or final last year. So hopefully he can do that again.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that would definitely be cool if he was able to continue contributing, since like Nations League literally was his debut last year.
That's
as
true.
Well.
That's true.
So like this is even an even more meaningful tournament to him than the average USMNT international, just because of like that's where he got to introduce himself to everyone.
Well, Chuck, we did it. All five leagues, we went through them. Thank you so much for being on the show. I'll make sure and put links in the show notes to your X account, which is at Chuck Booth Sport, and also to your work at CBS Sports. Everyone should check out that article you mentioned about Kevin Paredes. But before I let you go, any final thoughts you'd like to share with us?
Let's just... Hopefully the next time we talk that the USMNT will have actually won Nations League.
Yes.
Very, very curious to see what this roster looks like, because we've got some questions.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're recording this on Tuesday. I've heard kind of some mixed signals. I've heard Wednesday the roster's going to get released. I've heard Thursday, but nonetheless, this week it's definitely going to come out. And so,
yeah, because like Canada's already has dropped today. I know theirs isn't specifically for Nations League, it's for the playoffs, but at the absolute deadline is Friday when CONCACAF is going to release all of the rosters.
All right, I'm excited. Chuck, thanks again for joining the show.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks to everyone for listening to Here and Abroad. If you enjoyed the episode, please share it with a fellow USMNT fan. I'm Frank Garza. You can follow me on X at FrankGarza007. And I'll be back next week with a new episode.